From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 13. The subject of this chapter is the Christian's duty to civil government. Are believers commanded to submit to the laws of the state under every circumstance? When and how is disobedience to governmental authorities justified? It's vitally important to understand exactly what Paul is saying in this passage, and not to impose preconceived ideas upon it. The very first thing is quite clear. God has established secular government, or the powers that be. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message entitled, Subjects of Two Kingdoms. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. Our text for this morning comes from Ezra chapter 8 and verse 22. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. A convoy, on many accounts, would have been desirable for the pilgrim band, but a holy shamefacedness would not allow Ezra to seek one. He feared lest the heathen king should seek his professions of faith in God to be mere hypocrisy, or imagine that the God of Israel was not able to preserve his own worshippers. He could not bring his mind to lean on an arm of flesh in a matter so evidently of the Lord, and therefore the caravan set out with no visible protection, guarded by him who is the sword and shield of his people. It is to be feared that few believers feel this holy jealousy for God. Even those who in a measure walk by faith occasionally mar the luster of their life by craving aid from man. It is a most blessed thing to have no props and no buttresses, but to stand upright on the rock of ages, upheld by the Lord alone. Would any believers seek state endowments for their church if they remembered that the Lord is dishonored by their asking Caesar's aid? As if the Lord could not supply the needs of his own cause. Should we run so hastily to friends and relations for assistance, if we remembered that the Lord is magnified by our implicit reliance upon his solitary arm? My soul, wait thou only upon God. But, says one, are not means to be used? Assuredly they are. But our fault seldom lies in their neglect. Far more frequently, it springs out of foolishly believing in them instead of believing in God. Few run too far neglecting the creature's arm. But very many sin greatly in making too much of it. Learn, beloved, to glorify the Lord by leaving means untried, if by using them thou wouldst dishonor the name of the Lord. Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
The decisions of God do not all await the second coming or the judgment day, because God has established legitimate government in the earth, and he has established in the social and political sphere ministers of God, deacons of God, men active in pursuing something that even though they may not recognize it, God has ordained. And these men, as this passage makes clear, have the legitimate power to govern and even to judge. Now, Paul wrote this to the believers in Rome. And the Roman believers knew very well that they were faced with much evil. Paul had just told them, be not overcome by the evil that's around you, but overcome that evil with good. Now in chapter 13, he proceeds with some detail to tell them how they may actually overcome evil with good. So the connection between chapter 13 and what goes before is not difficult, nor is the overall message difficult, though the details have occasioned endless debate. Let me state for you in a sentence what I think is the general message in context of this chapter. Follow me carefully here. This is Paul's argument. Remember the connection that I've established about not taking vengeance and recognizing that God is the ultimate judge, etc. Now we come into chapter 13. Believing that the Lord is the ultimate judge, Christians live, and I'm going to use a word that comes up later in the chapter, decently, honestly, honorably, subjecting themselves to human rulers and their laws, but obeying the law of God. Now let's get this very clearly. Believing that our God is the ultimate judge, Christians live decently, honestly, honorably, subjecting themselves to human rulers and their laws, but obeying the law of God. And they do this, not only looking back to what Christ has done for them, but looking forward to the approaching end of the age and the glorious consummation of the salvation they enjoy in Christ. Now that's the thesis that Paul is going to be developing in this passage of Scripture. When I looked at this, I began to try to figure out, how do I get through this chapter? How do I give form and get some stepping stones that we may follow Paul's argument through in a way we can understand and apply to ourselves? My mind went back to that famous moment in Scottish church history that I have described here on past occasions, when Andrew Melville stood in the presence of James the Sixth of Scotland. And James was a very autocratic ruler. He became James the First of England a little later, and he showed how autocratic he was. He imagined himself a scholar, and indeed he was. He thought himself a considerable churchman, and I suppose he could justly lay claim to that. And he began to meddle in the affairs of Christ's church, and to seek to lord it over the flock of God. And Andrew Melville stood before King James, and he said, Your Majesty, there are two kings and two kingdoms in Scotland. There is James the Sixth. You are King of Scotland. Then You are the king of this commonwealth, was the word that he used. Then there is Jesus Christ, and he is the king of his church, of which James is not a king or a lord, but merely a member. There are two kings and two kingdoms, not only in Scotland, but in every other nation in which Christians dwell. So I began to think of that. Then I realized that I had a book up on my shelves that I had forgotten to look at. Now you will wonder how anybody could be studying any part of Romans and forget this book. And I realized that while for a long time I had not possessed Martin Lloyd-Jones on Romans 13, it had been graciously bought to me some time back, and so I remembered and I pulled it down. And I said to myself, man, you are going to be thought to be a real plagiarist, because what did the editors title the book? Living in Two Kingdoms. And when I looked inside, lo and behold, Lloyd-Jones quoted at length the very speech from Andrew Melville. Well, if I were a plagiarist, I would not be quoting Dr. Lloyd-Jones, and I would not be telling you that I'd read it there. This is a case where something so obvious that not only could a great preacher like Lloyd-Jones see it, but even I could see it. So I want us to think tonight of living as subjects of two kingdoms. That's not something that Paul alone addressed. You remember the Lord Jesus viewed this in various ways during his own earthly ministry, using different kind of language and different kinds of figures of speech. He said to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. He said, you are the light of the world. He said to his Father when he was praying for them, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. He said to his disciples, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world hates you. So the Lord Jesus recognized that his people, and he taught them to recognize that his people were in a peculiar position as those who were going to have to live as subjects of two kingdoms. That's therefore a subject with which the early Christians were very familiar, since Christ had dealt with it. Now the apostle deals with it, and he gives it a lot of attention here in Romans 13. There's some very interesting analyses of this 13th chapter. Dr. Paisley preached on it years ago. This is something that it's in the book that he wrote while he was in the Crumlin Road prison in Belfast in 1966. 3 months he was imprisoned. And I have to say, he had done nothing criminal. He was there for conscience sake. And during those 3 months he wrote his commentary on Romans. When he came to this chapter, he entitled it Our Social Responsibility. Verses 1 to 5, Our Social Responsibility Towards the Magistrates of Society. 6 to 8, Our Responsibility Toward the Mandates of Society. Verses 9 and 10, Our Responsibility Toward the Members of Society. And then 11 through 14 give a closing exhortation. As a Presbyterian minister in Northern Ireland, Mr. Kelly, and he turned out a very interesting little study guide in the book of Romans. And when he came to this chapter, he had a very simple and I think a very beautiful way of describing it and analyzing it. Again, emphasizing our responsibilities. The first 7 verses, he says, describe our responsibilities to the powers over us. Verses 8 through 10 give our responsibilities to the people around us. And verses 11 through 14 describe our responsibilities to the promise that's set before us. So this is an interesting passage of Scripture. I give you those beautiful, finely crafted homiletical analyses because I'm going to be an awful lot simpler tonight. As I look at this passage, I agree that there are three main sections. Verses 1 to 7, 8 to 10, and 11 through 14. In the first seven verses, well, let me say, in these you've got three views of the Christian life as Christians live as subjects of two kingdoms. In the first seven verses, we are told to live as law-abiding citizens. That is the fundamental message. Live as law-abiding citizens. Now, this subject of the relation of the Christian to earthly society and especially to the earthly state is very complex, and it has always been. It was so for the early church. Just remember, many of the early Christians were Jews. And the Jews hated the thought of a foreigner being their ruler. In fact, as a nation, way back as far as the book of Deuteronomy, they were forbidden by divine law to appoint a foreigner as their ruler. And though they didn't actually appoint Caesar, nonetheless, they had him over them and they hated it. That in many ways is the key to the whole tempestuous history of the Jewish nation's hatred of foreign rule. And the Christian Jews would still have hated the idea of a foreign ruler. Then the Gentile Christians would also have largely detested the paganism of their rulers. They had been saved out of this very paganism, and when they saw it enshrined in government and put into practice and backed up by the power of the sword, they certainly would naturally have hated it. Both Jews and Gentiles in the church knew what it was to have the dignity of a heavenly citizenship. And so there would be in them, very naturally, an antipathy toward human government, especially of the kind that was then in existence. You add to that that secular history would tell us that just prior to and at the time of the writing of this epistle, there was a widespread feeling of dissatisfaction about Roman tax policy. Now, tell us what's new. You see, this whole thing about taxes and government policies of taxation, and do they have a right to tax, and shouldn't they be taxing me so much, and why should I pay, especially if I can get away with not paying, all the rest of it. There's nothing new about this. This was being agitated. Well, I think it always has been, but it certainly was being agitated widely in the Roman state at this time. And so, with all this going on, you can see that it would have been very natural for the Christians in Rome to oppose the state. But the fact is that there's not a shred of evidence either in biblical or secular history. In fact, there's much to the contrary. Not a shred of evidence that Christians ever became agitators against the Roman state. And that fact speaks volumes because it tells us how effective the teaching of the apostles was.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.